Now, if you rise for the scripture reading, the scriptures today are from Revelations 21 and 22. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the polluted, the murderers, the fornicators, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And in the spirit he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city of Jerusalem coming down out of heaven for God. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. The word of God for the people of God.
This is an unusual place for me because I don't like pulpits. I feel confined and constrained, but I'm going to try to stay up here today just because I don't have a microphone down there. So anyway, it's good to be here again with you, Faith Community. I bring you greetings from our Bishop, Gregory Von Palmer, and my colleagues on the West Ohio Cabinet. I have been a district superintendent in this area for 5 years. I'm starting my sixth, yay, and this is the last one. So I'm looking forward to next year's annual conference when I can give up this mantle of superintendency and go back to being an ordinary person. We've all seen movie trailers. And we've seen the words "coming to a theater near you." Recently, one of the last Marvel movies was about to premiere in theaters. There was an opportunity for Marvel lovers to spend 56 hours in movie theaters across the country to see all of the Marvel sagas that led up to the epic final movie experience. 56 hours. How many of you would spend 56 hours in church if given the opportunity? Think about that. As people began going into the theaters, they were observed with blankets, food, toothbrushes, and other necessary apparel. These folks went and stayed at the movie theater for 2.5 days just to watch all of these movies in their entirety. And then there was the final saga that was released on April 25th, and Marvel fans packed theaters to see it. Avengers Endgame topped box office charts for 3 weeks and is still, even now, in the top five. It is rated with regard to all-time ticket sales, just behind Avatar for record box office sales. And if Avengers Endgame has not come to Xenia yet, it will soon be coming to a theater in your neighborhood. Clearly, there has been a lot of pre-premiere marketing and hype about this movie. If you are a movie maker, your job is to make movies and to have receipts that your movie, that when your movie debuts, the receipts are outdistanced by the cost of producing the movie. In other words, you've got to make more money selling tickets than you spent on the movie itself. That is the mission and the goal of movie making. You must make a movie that people want to see and will pay outrageous ticket costs to be there when it opens. Most Avengers fans want bragging rights to say, I saw it on the opening day and I stood in line for 6, 8, even 12 hours just so I could be one of the first ones to get the ticket. And yes, I was there. Yes, I was there. Are there any Marvel fans in the house? So my question to you this morning is, what are we as a church marketing, and how are we doing with the people showing up to experience our work and our product? As I travel around the large swath of the state, I would have to say we're doing okay in some areas, poor to miserable in others. Unfortunately, most of the people of the church have no clue what they are in business to market, and therefore we fail at our jobs. The role of the church is to extend God's mission in the world and to make disciples of all people, of Jesus Christ, of all people, for the transformation of the world. We are to love God, love our neighbor, and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So why is it that Marvel is winning at what they're doing and it seems we are not? Well, I'm so glad you asked that question this morning. For I believe the main reason the church is failing today is because we have not let God move into our hearts, our minds, our homes, our churches, or our communities. We claim to be Christians, but we see the church building as the place where we connect to God. But what if God cannot get into your church? We have filled our churches with so much stuff, and if we are honest, we care more about that stuff than we really care about God or God's people living all around us. If you don't believe me, just try moving something in this sanctuary and see what happens. Churches have split over the color of carpet, over what time to have worship, over whether to purchase instruments, which would include organs, pianos, and keyboards. And those are just a few things I can think that have split churches. And oh, the big one today is to have screens or not to have screens. At least we think this is new. It happened in antiquity and in the early days of the church. Over and over again in Jewish and Christian traditions, true religious leaders have condemned members for being iconoclast, and that means worshipers of the signs and symbols of God, but forgetting all about God. And sometimes that's what we do. We worship our crosses. We worship our candles. We worship our choirs. We worship the accoutrements of worship, but we forget to worship God. Even in the temple Solomon built, that first and the grandest temple of all in Jerusalem, God reminded him, the Most High does not dwell in houses made by human hands. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house can you build for me, says the Lord? Or what would be my place of rest? Did my hands not make all these things? So how does God want to interact with us? Does God need a temple or a church or a synagogue or a mosque? Well, God is telling us no in the scripture that was read in your hearing today. God wants to move into a neighborhood. God is coming to a neighborhood near you. God wants to be one of your homies. God wants us to openly accept God and all of God's people because Here, everyone is welcome at God's table. God will be our tabernacle or our tent, if you remember that metaphor from Exodus. And God will pitch God's tent in the midst of God's people. God will be our God, and we will be God's people. This is the vision of John for the New Jerusalem, the holy city, where the river of life will flow, and there is a tree on both sides of that river whose leaves are for the healing of all people and all nations. So in the New Jerusalem, when the question is asked, is there a balm in Gilead? The resounding answer comes back, yes, there is a balm in Gilead that can make the wounded whole. There is a balm in the New Jerusalem that heals the sin-sick soul. Coming to your neighborhood is the New Jerusalem, the place where God is not willing to let people be hungry or thirsty anymore, and every human need will be supplied. In God's neighborhood, there will be no more death and dying. Coming to a neighborhood near you is our God, the God of life and health and strength, who provides light 24/7, because God's light, love, and radiance will not allow the darkness to overcome God's people. Coming to a neighborhood near you is the one true God who will wipe every tear from our eyes, who will eliminate pain and suffering and death and dying. Coming to a neighborhood near you is the God who wants to be up close and personal, face to face with you, removing all the dividing walls and all the barriers that exist between us and God. No walls, no money for walls to keep God's people out of God's presence and the presence of one another. When my daughter was very young, we talked about praying to God and having God answer and talking to God as if you were talking to a person. And she said, Mommy, does God really answer us? Does God really speak to us? And I said, yes. And she said, really? Are you sure? And I said, yes, God has spoken to me. She said, well, would you tell God if he has something to say to me to tell it to you? Because I really don't think I'm ready to hear from God. And I think that's the way a lot of us are in the church. We really don't want God to show up because we're not sure we could handle it. But God doesn't come to do stuff to us. God comes to bless and to heal and to make us the best we can be. Unity and diversity will abound in God's city. All the people in God's hood will be under the love, care, and protection of a great, loving, and beneficent God who will withhold nothing from God's people. God says, it's coming. It's coming to a neighborhood near you. And God wants to know if you are ready to give up, grow up, and show up in this New Jerusalem that shares all that God's heart desires. In God's neighborhood, God makes everything new every day. Now, this is apocalyptic literature, and it really is literature that we think talks about the end times, but it really doesn't. It talks about situations we find ourselves in from day to day and how we as Christians can respond to the things that we see going on around us. And people have always striven to do these kinds of things because there were men like Adam Smith, Karl Marx, Herbert Spencer, Max Weber, Leon Trotsky, and Lenin, who all dreamed a better world where oppression did not take precedence over human beings. And actually, that's what those superhero movies are about, is fixing the evil that's in the world, trying to get rid of what seems like the inherent evil that is in us and in the world. On the surface, these political and economic theories seem like a way forward until you add human beings into the mix. And we know what happens. We know that we want to have, when we do these system things, we have our own best interests at heart. Therefore, we create systems and rules that define who is acceptable and who is not acceptable. Therefore, we justify and add import and intensity to racism, sexism, and heterosexism, and all the other sins which we as humans fall prey to. I want my group, not yours, to be in power and to have influence. And as long as I have the power, I have to find a way to keep that power, and no matter what the cost, that's the way it's going to be. We get caught up in the same kind of social, political, and religious entanglements in the church. That's why we have denominations and non-denominations. And that's why some people think that the church as a facility or a building belongs to them. But it's a lie. It's a lie. God is the creator and the sustainer of the universe. God is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, and does not play by human whims, theories, or rules. The message of our text today is that God gets to say who is in and who is out. And if I read my Bible correctly, God comes for the people who many of us don't want in our churches. God moves into the neighborhood to create a new order and reestablish what God had for humanity in the Garden of Eden until Adam, yes, Adam, sinned and broke covenant with God. Are we ready for God to move into our neighborhood? If we are, will we share God's abundance and light with other people from all nations? If we do this, we will find a home in God's presence now. If we are ready for God to move into our neighborhood, we have faith in this heavenly vision, and it keeps us focused on how we should live each day. Instead of walling ourselves off from other people who are different, we invite people from all nations into the community of God and into God's wonderful and radiant light. Peace comes, author and teacher Carol Brumbaugh from Brentwood United Methodist Church in Nashville, Tennessee says, not from a lack of difference, but from a lack of separation. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we better look for some folks who don't look like us and don't think like us and see if we can bring them here right now. We better go into the highways and byways where Jesus went and be willing to tell people to come and meet God face to face. The Word incarnate came to break down the dividing walls between male and female, slave and free, and all of those other labels we like to hang on one another. And when you go out into the world, the people out there need to know that you're different. And this is what I believe you need to tell them. I serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. I know that he is living whatever people say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always here. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. We are Easter people. We are people who believe in the resurrection, who believe that God lives and God lives now and wants us to be with God. But every now and then we forget, and we think that we've got it all figured out. But I came to remind you today that God wants to move into your neighborhood, into your heart, into your house, into your church. And if you are afraid to talk to God, find a friend who'll talk to him with you and for you. But our job is to let that light and love and mercy that lives within us spread through the whole world. God's light and grace shining through you is what the world needs now. When I was a little girl, I wanted to be in the church every time the door was open. And in my tradition, you went to church on Sunday at least three times a day. You went at Sunday school time, well, four. You went at Sunday school time, you went to church, you went to 3 o'clock, and you went to 7 o'clock. That was just the way it was. And then we had services all through the week. And I wanted to be there because there was something about being there and being around those people that ushered me into the presence of God. And God showed up for me when I needed God most. And when I was young and I didn't know any better, I began to understand and know from the people in my church that I could depend on God for everything. When God's home is in our community, God's presence is a proleptic vision of what heaven will be like. And I don't know about you, but I want to live in God's neighborhood. I want to live in God's neighborhood, and I want to sing with my friends and family the old gospel song, "Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of my neighborhood, let me lift my voice. All my cares are past. I'm home with God at last, ever to rejoice." God is coming to your neighborhood. Are you going to welcome him? And are you going to welcome those God welcomes to the table? Thanks be to God. Amen.